You're listening to episode 212 of Women Worldwide. Have you ever heard of empty nest syndrome? If you're a parent, what happens when the baby birds grow up and fly away? How much of you goes away with them? Well, I've got a guest today who can identify the problem areas, help you avoid empty nest syndrome, and share strategies if you're going through it now. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide, where you get to hear the stories of passionate professionals who are inspiring and motivating you to step out of your comfort zone. I just want to say thank you to all of you for helping our network grow. Not only are we getting more incredible guests on the show, but our listener base is expanding too. And we can't thank you enough for tuning in every single week and for sharing your feedback. So keep it coming, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, rate us on iTunes. And now you can even sign up for Women Worldwide emails on our website too. Okay, let's dive into today's topic. We've never hit this one before. It's empty nest syndrome. Now, I'm sure you've heard about it. I did, but I really didn't think about it too much until all of our baby birds started to leave the nest, and it is a real thing. So I have a guest today who has a lot to say about this topic. Joining me on the show is Samantha Lewis, who is a businesswoman, coach, and corporate wellness practitioner. Samantha really understands the complexities that come with establishing yourself as a mom and a businesswoman. And she's sharing tips to help others avoid losing all of themselves in motherhood, which is kind of easy to do if you think about it. Today, Samantha travels the world. She's joining us from Rome. So she is international and she travels the world helping others to identify problem areas to letting go in these workshops called Being You. She's also sharing her 6 strategies to avoid empty nester syndrome. I'm sure Samantha is going to discuss some of those strategies today on this show. I could go on and on about Samantha, but it's always better when the guest jumps in to share. So Samantha, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, thank you for joining us from Rome. And you just got in today?
I did indeed. It's great to be in a different country and get a sense of the difference that it is from where I come from. I live in South Africa. So it's always wonderful to see a different country and meet different people, get to know different people and how they are and how they be in the world.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And now I mentioned in the introduction that you're a coach, actually a life coach and a corporate wellness practitioner. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about why you chose this particular career path.
Thank you. Yes. Well, I engaged with a energy of one of the motivational speakers that I knew when I was working in corporate banking many, many years ago. And part of the corporate banking routine was to every 3 months or so send their teams on motivational workshops. And I would sit in this workshop and look up at the presenter. His name was Bruce. And I would look around the room and just see how people were uplifted and inspired to look at different things in their life, to look at their upbringing and look at the ways that they had been limiting themselves or judging themselves in how they do things. Maybe they had a low self-esteem, and he would really show them a way out of that. And I just wanted to be able to bring that to people, to have them have the gifts and the tools to help them be everything that they could be.
That's amazing. I mean, first of all, it's amazing that being in the corporate banking sector, exactly. They have this motivational speaker. As soon as you said that, I'm like, wow, that's a good thing. But, you know, soaking it all in and just feeling like this is something that I, in some way, shape, or form, want to help or do. How did you, I know that you too are a mother. So how did your children impact your career path?
Well, I became a single mom when my children were 5 and 1 years old. And I started to recognize that I really needed to be able to be something for them, not having a father present. And that really got me to explore, you know, what can I add? What can I add to my life that will give me the tools to work with my children, to be what I can for them, and also include myself in my life? So those workshops that I went on when I was in corporate banking really inspired me, and I started starting to become a life coach while I was still working. And those tools really, really helped me during my children's school life, right up into high school and going through the teenage years. So really having the tools and knowing how to deal with them was such a contribution.
<That's always tough>.
It really is. It was such a contribution. And just constantly exploring, you know, what else? What else is out there in life? And I used to read a lot of books, a lot of motivational books. If you name a motivational book, I'm sure I've read it. I've explored many different self-help and healing techniques that are around to bring all of this into how I parented and what I could give to my children.
So do you think it was a conscious effort on your part to always make sure that you were, I'm going to use your own language, you include myself in my life. So you were including yourself the whole time so that you didn't get lost. Was that a conscious decision or did it just happen naturally? Curiosity.
Thank you for that question. Because as you said that, I was like, yes, I actually did feel lost and not knowing. So my search to find a way out of that and something that I could really know that, okay, I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right thing. I'm being all that I can be for myself and for my children, made me seek out this work and seek out ways to have these conversations with people.
That's really interesting because it doesn't sound like you have to ever have to sacrifice one for the other.
No. No.
That's great. So did you, the empty nest syndrome, if you are curious, well, if at one time you feel lost, but you remain curious and you sort of continue with this search so that you're giving to your children as well as feeding yourself, you know, is that how you sort of saw emptiness syndrome happen, play out in your own life so that you could help others?
It was that and starting to see one-on-one clients and coaching people that I first became aware of, this is actually something really real. I started seeing clients that had their children leaving, and now they were like, okay, so what is my life about if I don't have someone to look after, someone to fetch and carry from school, someone who needs me 24/7? like, who am I and what is my life all about? That's where they would find themselves in a space when their children started leaving. And some have one child, and when you only have one child, often it's a little bit harder because most of your attention goes to the one child. And as that one child then leaves and goes off to varsity or goes to travel the world, the parents start realizing, okay, now I have this massive void to fill, and what am I going to do? And they start losing a little bit of their identity, because before the child left, they were the parent. And that included, daily routine, different types of questions, different types of conversations. And now none of that was there anymore. So I started working with that and working with people and asking them questions that inspired them to re-engage and reconnect with who they were and what their wants, needs, and desires were, and help them to see that they can actually include other things into their life and not necessarily see the change as a void, as an emptiness, more of seeing it as a possibility.
So, that's really interesting. The big change when your children or your child leaves, you know, they do say that that really takes its toll on a marriage too. If you're not able to add to your life, find new ways, change your routine, is that one of the times where you see, or if you can answer this question, if you see marriages break down?
Well, yes. And also you may find, and it's not like this in every marriage, I'm just, using this as an example that is possible, is often the wife is the one who is really emotional and vocal about there's something missing. And it does affect the husband as well and the dads, yet they may not find it that easy to talk about not being so willing or even comfortable with sharing their thoughts and their feelings about what's going on for them. So yes, it could very well cause a little bit of a breakdown in the relationship, in the marriage.
You know, I was going to ask about men and women, if they both suffer from empty nest syndrome. So you did answer the question. How, if men are less willing to discuss, then how can they get help? that's a big challenge, or anyone for that matter.
It is indeed. And if I'm seeing the wife and she's willing to receive some coaching, then I would give her some tools that would assist her to actually engage with her husband. And the way often is to not ask about feelings, to more be asking the husband or the partner, what is going on for you? This is what's going on for me. How do you see it? So it's almost a reflection of what's going on for you, so they can then engage with you on the topic and not necessarily talk about feelings and emotions.
It's almost a safer question.
Yes, very much
so. The way you're framing it. Is that a question that you can really use in other challenging situations as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. And it's almost, if you say to someone, what's wrong? They're going to start looking at that there's something wrong and they shouldn't have those feelings. But if you look at it and go, hey, this is going on for me. I woke up this morning and I just realized that everything feels, I feel a little bit empty inside. And then I realized that it's because, Laura or whoever has left the house. And now I don't know what to do with my days. Is something similar going on for you, or is it just me? So it really then allows that space to open up to have an engaging conversation around that.
That's brilliant. I can see a lot more conversation as opposed to if you hit like a real feeling question, trying to get anybody whether it's a male or a female, to open up, if you strike the chord the wrong way, it doesn't usually lead to any kind of discussion, but more maybe a defense.
A defense and a shutdown.
Yeah.
And then you get nowhere with that. And it works. Yeah. It works for children too.
Well, that's something for all of us to take in and use. I'm going to make a note of that. In the introduction, I did mention you were working on some strategies to avoid the syndrome. So I just want to ask if you can briefly maybe share a strategy or two for the listeners out there might be thinking about this or going through it.
Definitely. So a couple of the things that I would mention, and I will offer these to you and then also give you the question that I would use in a coaching scenario, is to find a way to stay connected to the things that you find fun. So that would be I would then offer the person the question, if you could say to yourself every day, if I could do something fun just for me today, what would I like to choose? And then as they begin to rediscover what is fun for them, you then start reconnecting with your sense of fun and play and joy before children came and became your primary source of your life and everything that you do. And this is while your children are still around. So we tend to forget to do that. So that would be the first thing, is to stay connected to the things that you find fun. And if you aren't doing this right now, to start doing it straight away. Find that one thing that you'd like to add each day that brings you fun. It's like scheduling yourself into each day.
Making yourself a priority. Because if it doesn't get on the schedule, right?
And so many other things get onto the schedule. And so many other things become a priority. And one thing, the third thing would be, is to be willing to ask for and receive help. So often we feel that we've got to do everything ourselves. But if you ask for help, you will easily be able to not feel like you're the only person that's having to sort out everything relating to your child. Asking someone to help fetch or carry, or looking out for a different way, or a team of people, or having teaming up with some other moms to fetch and carry kids from school, that kind of thing, to really look at, I don't really need to do all of this myself.
So when it comes to teaming up with other moms, and I would say you said to ask for help, that would be a very straightforward, I need help. Or if I would say to a female friend of mine, I'm struggling with this, I need help. How about if going back to your partner, is it that same question, or is there a different approach to the person who is actually struggling along with you, so that you don't make them upset or turn them off? Or have them say, well, I need help.
Well, it could be a situation where they go, yeah, I've been thinking of the same thing and I need help too. And what that then does is it actually gets you out of that place of I'm all alone in this. And we know how it is when two people get together and they start talking. You find all sorts of solutions to things that you on your own could never see or even think of before. So when you have someone in a similar scenario, like another mom, and you decide to ask the question, you make that choice to actually ask the question, so what can we actually do about this? How can we look at this in a different way? And I wonder how many other moms out there have this. What is the solution here that we haven't been looking for that's right in front of us? So it becomes a team effort to find the solution. And by helping each other, you also then feel more valuable you feel that you're engaging in your life as well when you start looking for solutions and you have someone next to you doing it with you.
Does it take some people longer to sort of get through emptiness syndrome than it would for others, or is it just different for every single person?
I would say it's different for every single person. Some people are really willing to look at what they can change and what they can add. Other people are not as willing and prefer to stay in what they believe is their perfect life and doing everything as they have done for years and years and years. And then you have people that are, I want to change all of this right away. Can we do it today? So they are different people, and it just depends on what they have noticed that's different, that needs changing, and how far are they actually willing to go to make the change, and how much are they willing to do to make the change for themselves as well.
Sounds like you have to be really self-aware.
Yes.
To go through the process.
Very much so. And, you know, many people aren't that self-aware. So as we begin the journey of having these conversations, they do become more self-aware by getting connected with the things that they like again, getting to know themselves on an emotional, mental, and physical way, getting to engage with the conversations that they have about themselves. Because if you look at our day-to-day life, it's very rare that we actually sit down and have a conversation with someone that's really listening to what we're saying and really kind of on our side and wanting the best thing for us too. So that's kind of the role that I would play, is being there. I'm on your side. I see what's going on for you. Let's see how we can get you to where you'd like to go and how you'd like to be feeling around what's going on for you.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that, Samantha. We're just going to take a super quick break. So I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts for now. We're going to give some love to our sponsor. And when we get back, Samantha will share more about her work and what keeps her motivated and focused each and every day.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing and PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
Welcome back to the show. Samantha Lewis and I were just chatting about her work and how she helps others to overcome empty nest syndrome, which really is a thing. Samantha, you've shared a lot of really good information. That question that you asked is so important, about what's that one thing, if you could do, that you love to do to rediscover yourself. I was sitting here thinking to myself, I'd be podcasting. I am. So there you go. You know, you love what you do. It comes through in all of your answers and how you're helping. So I'm kind of wondering, what helps to keep you motivated and focused on your work every single day with so many things going on? It's a noisy landscape out there.
It's a very noisy landscape. And when you said focused, I'm like, am I focused? How do I focus? And there is so much out there. And I love seeing what other people are doing. I love watching the TED shows, you know, the TED shows that are around, the TED Talks.
Great.
I love watching those. And what keeps me motivated is that one client that you work with on a day and they send you a message at the end of the day and say, my whole world has changed. Thank you so much. And that could be one in 10. It could be one in 20. And it's really, that is what keeps me motivated. And when I see that person light up inside, just by having someone hear them for the very first time, have someone acknowledge them for the very first time, that is what keeps me motivated.
That's a great motivation. It really is. Because, you know, it's really interesting that we surround ourselves with friends and family and colleagues, and there's this thing called social media. There's a lot of conversations out there. But, you know, somewhere along the line, if you're not feeling like you're being heard, that's difficult. So for you to take on that role of the active listener, and there's a difference between, I've learned, listening and active listening, so that somebody really feels like you're hearing them and you're able to give them the tools and the coping mechanisms or to move forward. There's a big difference. So I'm glad that you're focused and motivated that way, because you're helping people. What about your own stressful situations? How are you feeling about that, and how do you manage?
Well, when it comes to stress and stressful situations, as soon as I become aware of all the triggers of, okay, there's a lot going on right now, For me personally, I generally wouldn't call it stress for me. I know many people define it as stress when your body starts sort of closing and you feel like everything's closing in and your body starts tightening up. I really ask myself a question, and the question is, what is going on here? And is this mine? So when we're engaging with many people and engaging with life, a lot of us are really aware of what's going on in the world at the same time. So often what I'm perceiving as stress may not necessarily be mine. It could be something that's going on in the world. It could be my partner and me perceiving his stress, or something going on with one of my children. So I really ask myself that question, what is going on here and is this mine? And as soon as I ask that question, every time, that sense of stress and tension starts to lighten up, and I can actually look at it and see what is in front of me and what is mine and what isn't mine, and look at what is required to change the situation.
That's a really great approach, because it's very easy to take on the stress of others.
Very much so.
It's simple. And it does. It affects you, your mind. It affects your body. To be able just to step back and say, is this mine? Because you're almost being more of an observer, which is really important. Now, if it is yours, let's say it's not intentionally or unintentionally directed at you by someone in your close circle or on social media or wherever it is, then what do you do? How do you problem solve your own stress and kind of calm yourself down if it really is yours?
Well, my first go-to place is to take a walk in nature. So I'm very lucky. I live in a beautiful estate and I can literally walk out my back door and onto grass and walk out to a lake. And I immediately then have the stress start to dissipate. It can be something different for anyone, or I'll play with my cat. So taking yourself out of that environment straight away can really assist you. What also works for me is asking the question, what can I do here to change this? And what can I be here to change this? So as you ask the question, again, you get a different perspective on what is this really? And you can start choosing or making a different decision and a different choice to actually look at it in a different way, so that it's not impacting on you. Kind of like having a conversation with yourself. And as you have that conversation and you ask those questions, it starts dissolving the intensity of whatever's going on and you can kind of see through what's going on.
Yes, no, that is definitely a really good way to understand and learn more about what's happening with your stress. And if you can ask that question, you know, I've seen studies or I've heard even motivational speakers talk about this, that stress can be turned into something positive. Stress is that, you know, can be looked at as that energy or adrenaline that runs through you, that gets you to do things maybe that you would never have done before, but it's almost reframing how you look at stress.
I love that you use that, how reframing how you look at stress. Definitely that is the key here, is to how you reframe what's going on so that you can actually engage and move forward and do something to change it.
Right, because it's very easy to get wrapped up in any kind of stress. So removing yourself is so important. I don't know, I feel like we get conditioned to, there's a book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, that talks about how it's a pattern. You know, when we do a certain action, something else happens, and then we get a reward. The reward isn't always positive. It could be a negative reward, but because of the pattern, you don't stop yourself. And it's literally what you're saying is a way to kind of shift the pattern and to look at things differently, which is really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
How about some of your interests outside of your work? Now, I know you travel internationally, which is so cool. You know, how much of your time is spent working and maybe playing in some of these international cities that you're visiting?
Well, I don't see my work as work. So when you ask me that question, it's like, oh, okay. So my work is my play, and I get to engage with different people all the time and have these conversations. I also facilitate the Being You adventure classes, and those are really so much fun. And it's what adds to me. It's what nourishes me and really keeps me being who I am without having to change anything or be someone different. It's constantly growing and nurturing and exploring more and more of life every single day in everything that I do. So there's not one thing that I can say, okay, I do this and then I do this, because there's no separation for me. It's really my life is this. This is my life. It's not I go to work and I come home and then I do that. The things that I do enjoy and that I love is watching how things are made. So the Discovery Channel is one of my favorites.
That's cool.
And I love nature. I love being out in nature, and I enjoy the wild. You know, we have the African animals in South Africa, so I have a strong connection with that, and I do spend some time exploring those avenues quite a bit.
That's really cool. I want you to tell us a little bit more about the Being You adventure classes. So is this a workshop in a day, or, you know, is it a few hours? How would somebody get involved in the Being You adventure classes? It sounds really cool.
Well, there's a few different ways. Yes, there are classes, and I offer a day class and a 2-day adventure. They have different topics, and really it's having the space where people can come into and get a sense of what being really is. The Being You Adventure program was created by Dr. Dane here. He wrote a book called Being You, Changing the World. He's also one of the founders of Access Consciousness. And he created this program, and there are many of us facilitators all around the world. And we engage with people and invite them to come and explore who they are by being who they are. And as each hour goes by, each section, we engage in conversations in the event where everybody is included in the conversation. And as we have a conversation, it inspires everyone else in the room, depending who you're speaking with at the time. The conversation inspires the others in the room to look at what's going on for them too. So you get to tap into a space of being instead of a space of doing, because we've been conditioned to do. And when you're being you, you can be that in everything that you do. So it's reconnecting us with who we are and bringing more of who we are into everything that we do and not separating that. And every single class is so unique and so different. Whoever comes to an event, they are the creators of how the day goes. And it's such an inspiring and awakening is the word that I'd like to use, that people just open up like a flower that's in bloom, and they go out there with a new sense of being that they'd never experienced before. So one of the questions that we use as an invitation to these classes is, what if you could wake up every day with a wild enthusiasm of being alive?
What a great question.
And that is the invitation that the Being You classes are to people around the world.
That's a pretty powerful question. It sounds like you're unleashing this sort of real, authentic passion
yes.
from within, and that there's a big, wide open, blank canvas.
Yes, exactly.
You think you are in one moment, there could be something beneath the surface that needs to come out. You know, you don't know what you don't know. So this is, everything that you're saying is extremely helpful. It's inspiring. It's motivating. And clearly you're having success if you're doing this, you know, in different cities around the world. What about challenges? Maybe some challenges that you still face as you're kind of curious and finding yourself.
Yeah. there are always challenges. And I find at the moment, as what I've been doing has grown, the challenges are giving, you know, people want to see something that's tangible. You know, we've been taught that if it's not something you can touch, feel, and taste, then it can't really be real or true. So my challenge then is to really be living authentically and being that inspiration for others to see it and choose it.
So you are the role model.
Yes, very much so.
And that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm sure you carry that role very well. Samantha, what about maybe you could just round this all out? You've shared so much with us, but what advice would you give to listeners about being happy and thriving in their own space, in their personal lives, in their careers, and how they blend so that it can be as happy as you are?
So I like that you're asking me that. Thank you for that. And about being happy, it really is, you know, there's something that we add into all our events and classes is being happy really is a choice. And what if every single day to be living and having and being joy and having this thriving career is really about asking yourself, is this fun for me? And if it's not fun, look at what you can add so that you are having fun. Yes, there are some things that we have to do every day that may not be that much fun, yet there are a range of other things that we can actually add to our life that can make it more fun. And one of the things that has really worked for me is living my life from the present, not looking to the past, not creating my life from the past, but really looking at today is today. This is a new day. What would I like my life to look like today?
That is really good advice. I mean, I've heard that you should really live most of your life in the present, 80% at least in the present. I mean, not that, you know, 10% might be thinking about good memories of the past, but not harping on the negative. And that means forgiveness too. There's things that happen, you know, things don't always go the right way. People have words. Just forgiveness, because it is so important to be happy and that you choose to be happy.
And another great question here would be, you know, what can I choose here to move on? Because everything that you have in your life right now is from a choice that you've made somewhere along the line. So when you're living your life by a choice and then making another choice, it can be forever evolving. It doesn't have to be stagnant and look like something solid. And you really to allow yourself to change your mind.
Right. Well, choices are compounded too. So the more happy choices you make, the more compound effect in a happy direction and wonderful things happen that play out.
Yeah.
In your life. I'm a believer.
Very true.
Of that. Okay, last question. Super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
On my website, it's samanthalewis.co.za. And if you would like to find some of the Being You Adventure people around the world, you can pop onto the beingyouadventures.com website.
Fantastic. Samantha, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Women Worldwide. We appreciate all of those questions that you've given us to ask, everything you've shared. Great, great tips and advice. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun and it's just been great. Thank you very, very much for having me on the show.
It was such a pleasure. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for helping us to grow our network, because you're sharing the stories of incredible guests like Samantha. We appreciate you and all of the feedback, and we're hearing some really, really happy, happy listeners. Love hearing stories and how we're helping you. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.